Hebrews chapter 6, if you'd like to open your Bibles there. We'll continue our journey through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. I would love to read chapter 5 once more and come into chapter 6 from that approach and with that continuity. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. But not so with Jesus, of course. And no man taketh this honor of being a priest unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And we went back into the book of Exodus where God called Aaron and proved that. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. He didn't just take that on himself, no. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, the Son of God, yet, the only Son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? So we've already studied that. We've talked about that for several weeks at length. Now we proceed into the sixth chapter. We ought to be teachers after we've been saved and growing for a while. Okay? Now, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. After leaving the alphabet, we've already learned that. Now, we don't abandon the alphabet, or we don't abandon the principles of the doctrine of Christ. This leaving is not an abandonment. This leaving is a going on. We have that built under us as a foundation. We now know the spiritual alphabet and the spiritual foundation, and we build on that. Now, let's go on. Let's go on. Not to mysterious things, you know, but let's go on to the true revelation, full understanding of God. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. And I think that that's the message so needed today. So many people are not going on. So many people get baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost, and that's it. I mean, then it's, in some cases, back to the old life, back to the old thrills and pleasures and the old rut, the old way of doing things. But the Lord is asking us to go on, to grow in Him. We should be closer to the Lord today than we were yesterday. We should be closer in 85 than we were in 84. We should be better Christians, much better Christians in 85 than we were in 1980. I mean, we've had five full years to grow. How much, wouldn't you think your child was stunted if you drew a line on the wall where he stood and said he's this tall? 5 years later, he only matches the same line, or maybe he shrunk a little. That'd be worse yet. But you expect when that little boy goes up and stands against the wall, Daddy, I'm 9, I'm 10, I'm 11, I'm 12, am I growing? Daddy, look at that line down there, look at Daddy. You know, he's growing until we become full grown.
Yeah.
That's called maturity. That's called perfection in the scripture. Full growth. That's what the Lord is looking for. We're not to come to an altar, repent of our sins, get baptized in His name, speak in tongues, and then adopt some doctrine that's so similar to eternal security that it's scary. No, He's got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, He's saved. He's got the Holy Ghost. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, we're in a fierce battle, a rough conflict, and we've got to keep growing on, gaining strength. Because what's expected of a 21-year-old man is not expected of a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
This one has more responsibilities than this one. And so, as we grow in the Lord, we are to accept more responsibility and be more responsible as mature Christians. By the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and need milk, can't handle strong meat. Remember what I said about my dad when I was a boy, or when my brother and sister and myself were small children. Dad would go ahead and eat meat at the table while we were eating tabo, you know. And that didn't choke us, that didn't hurt us. And sometimes we're criticized for preaching strong meat when we have young Christians. No, that won't hurt them.
That's right. Amen.
They eat their pablum and their Gerber's strained baby food while we're eating meat.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I think we worry too much.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Therefore, leaving, not abandoning, just going on. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, like building a building. We don't take out the foundation when we put up the walls. We build on the foundation.
Amen.
And that's the same thing here. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. What are dead works? And of faith toward God. What's faith toward God? Well, I woke up this morning and I was thinking about something. I was thinking about that old question. What happens when the irresistible force meets the immovable object? You know? And all those questions people ask. You say God can do anything, huh? You Christians, you say God can do anything? Can He make a stone so big He can't lift it? You know? And as if God was divided against Himself. Yeah. Isn't that the answer to that? God is not divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. God's not divided. He's in unity with Himself.
Amen.
He's one. He's not ignorant like men are.
You know? Right.
But that's men's thought. They don't know God. But I thought, you know, I thought of, is there any immovable object? Is there any irresistible force? If there was, what is it? Well, anyway, I've got all kinds of thoughts written down and in my head and in my heart on that subject. What happens when the irresistible force meets up with the immovable object? But I woke up with a thunder this morning. I just thought, whoa. This won't, some of you won't probably relate exactly to what I'm saying now, but I thought the immovable object is that unbelief in people's hearts. This is one immovable object, you know, that unbelief. And that's one person God can't save, is the unbeliever.
That's right.
And so he can't save an unbeliever, unless he becomes a believer.
That's right.
Then he's not an immovable object anymore, because he moved.
That's right.
In the right direction. But think of that, that immovable object, that one that holds out to the end and he dies in his sin. No preacher moved me, no Pentecostal moved me, no scripture moved me, no Holy Ghost moved me, no Calvary drew me. I am immovable. I am the immovable object. What's going to happen when that meets the irresistible force?
Right.
What's going to happen? I just thought this morning, when faith and unbelief meet, I mean the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, when He actually comes, who in His times, He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. What's going to happen when this immovable unbeliever meets up with the real thing finally?
Yeah.
Boy, there's going to be a collision, an explosion. There's going to be a real meeting, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there is no God. I've said it all my life. I've spit at heaven. I've shaken my fist at Him. I have looked at my watch and said, if there's a God, strike me dead in 60 seconds. And I didn't die.
60 minutes went by, 60 years went by, I'm still alive. Oh my, look at me, me, me. There is no God. Converting people to atheism, having their parties of celebration when they win converts to atheism. I've seen these things. I've literally seen them. Some of you know about some of what I've seen. But anyway, what's going to happen when those who didn't believe in God and said, hey, when I die, just cremate my body. There's no hereafter. There's nothing to all this gospel talk. You know, I don't believe a bit of it. What's going to happen when all the dust of the earth starts shaking and moving in different directions and it comes together and that old body comes out of there? That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And that body, many of the bodies, the Bible says, is going to come out of the grave and it's going to stand before the irresistible force.
Yes.
It's going to stand before God Almighty in judgment.
Oh,
well, I'm glad I'm a believer. Oh, I'm glad I'm not going to face as an unmovable object against the irresistible force. Praise the Lord. I'm a believer. I believe in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I don't insist that everybody believe about God like I believe. Some people might say, well, I think God is a million miles tall and half a million miles wide, and I think this, and I think, well, I'm not talking about things like that. We're talking about he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And to my mind, if you want to prove the existence of God, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of belief, because the proof of the existence of God is the man, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
There it is. Now you've seen God.
Right.
You know, there's where it is. So if you're a believer in Jesus, it's so easy. If you're not a believer in Jesus, you have all kinds of problems.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So we leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We go on toward or unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. That one eternal judgment really, really gets me. Eternal judgment. That tells me that when judgment is given on judgment day, it's eternal. There's no reprieve, no changing it. If you made it to heaven, you're in heaven to stay. And if you didn't make it, you are lost forever.
Amen.
That's it, lost forever. Stay on fire for God, saints. Endure to the end. Don't lose your faith. Keep your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Hang in there with all you have, because
Amen.
The reward is right at the door. I mean, it is almost over, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, anyway, he says we leave all those things which we have talked about so much. And we go on into perfection. And then he says, and this will we do if God permit. What do you mean, if God permit? You mean, can I just grab my Bible, go out in the corner, and just start growing in the Lord? Can I just sit down one day and say, hey, I'm going to be wise? And I'm wise. He says here, and this will we do if. Our going on then is conditional. What's the condition? There are some conditions to meet. And this is what we do if God permit. Now this is not to be interpreted as though God were unwilling that we should make such advances in him and go on and grow. No, but just listen to the teaching of Scripture. Look at James chapter 4, verses 13, 14, and 15. James 4. Go to now, ye that say, verse 13, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, in this weather, it's easy to find vapor. Just go out and start your automobile, look where the exhaust comes out, and see that vapor. And then cut the engine,
And then watch how fast it disappears. That's what James says the length of our life is like. A vapor. And so many people waste their lives so foolishly. Why worry about sacrificing when your life is like a vapor? It's temporary. I tell everybody, everything's temporary. Except heaven, except God. Everything's temporary. Except spiritual things. Everything is temporary. Your situation in life is temporary. Oh my, I'm going through a trial. It's temporary. Not that we don't have compassion on one another, that's not my point. But it's temporary. I've had people come to me and tell me, did you know that your friend Don H. is a millionaire now? I mean, I used to feed that poor guy. Really? So many years ago, let's see, about 30-some years ago, I used to take the guy home and feed him. He was hungry. Now he's a millionaire? And somebody comes and tells me that, that's supposed to make me feel real bad. You see, I didn't do anything with my life. You know, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even $100,000 meter or whatever you call it, you know. 10% of a million. You know. I've just wasted. No, I haven't wasted my life. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. We're laying up treasures in heaven. We're not wasting a thing. We're using that little time when the vapor appears and then suddenly it's going to disappear wisely. But anyway, somebody told me, did you know he's a millionaire now? And I just smiled and said, well, it's temporarily, I said. He's a millionaire temporarily. Because his life is like a vapor too, which appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. So the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't fret because of the man who prospers in his way.
Amen.
Oh, I get just dance when I read the Word of God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Couldn't you?
Amen.
I get so carried away when I read the Word of God. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't fret because of the man who prospers in the way, because he's going to be cut down. His life is temporary.
Amen.
It's like a vapor. I hope you do that today. Have your wife turn off the engine, man, and you just watch that exhaust. Where'd it go? How many of you are already 30? Where'd it go? Somebody said they're, you know, 35 is halfway to 40. I forget what somebody here said it to somebody else, and it came back to me that they're past 35 now. That's the conqueror's age. One man said he's more than a conqueror. And another man said he's gone up the top of the hill, that's 35, and now he's going down the other side on a toboggan. You know, it's just going so fast. It's going so fast. That's life. What is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. And you know, I said it yesterday at the Sunday school teachers meeting. You see the little boys, the little girls, I mean, going around clackety 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 clack, clickety clack, clickety clack, in their mother's high heel shoes, and they wear their mother's dress, and they stumble on it as they walk on it. You know, it's too long for them, and they'll put on something else here and there, and they want to be like mother, and they'll get out pots and pans, and they'll play house and all this. They want to get big. Children, I've got a grandson. You know, he's doing this. Now he won't be doing that in a few years. That would embarrass him. Would you be embarrassed, men? Laying sitting on the floor, pushing the car up. But when you were a boy, you wanted to be big. And then you reach that magic age, 18. Now you are your own boss. You can do what you want to. You can go where you want to and so on. And then it's 30, you know. Now you're ready to be a priest or whatever. And then like I said yesterday, they're even talking about midlife crisis, something you're supposed to have, men, when you reach 35. And I'm 56 and I've never had it, don't know what it's all about, you know. I've had purpose in my life, that's why I've never had that. I'm not making fun now, don't misunderstand me, a lot of people do, but why do they have it? Why do they go through those things? You know, have we ever learned that our life is like a vapor which appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away? I have a motto in our house, one of my children gave it to me. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we're not just going to be able to rush about doing what we want to do and then say, I'm going to be wise, I'm going to know God, I'm going to be close to Him, I'm going to go on unto perfection. This will we do if God permit. God is willing that we go on to perfection, but he won't permit it unless we meet the conditions. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city, buy and sell, stay there a year, and make gain. Whoa, wait a minute. You ought to say, if we live. That's the next verse. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Let us go on, and this will we do if God permit. Oh, let's say that I'm 14 years old, I'm a freshman in high school, and I say, I think I'll graduate this year. I got some studying to do before they're going to let me graduate. I got some tests to pass before they'll let me graduate. Right? I can't just walk up and say, where's my diploma? Let's say, well, you're a freshman. You got to be a senior to graduate. This is what we do if God permit. We'll graduate if God permit. Follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, you've got to get your first grade diploma before you can get into second grade, get your second grade diploma before you can get into third grade, and your grade school diploma before you can get into high school, and your high school diploma before you get into college, and so on. That's the system. That's the way it works. And God follows that. This will we do if God permit.
Oh, and some of us, we just, why don't I know my Bible? Why can't I memorize Scripture? Why don't I win souls? Why?
Maybe you can answer yourself, no. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? Are you keeping up your studies? You know? Your prayer life? You know? Boy, I'm going to be the greatest preacher. I'm going to be the greatest soul winner. I'm not going to pray, though. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Okay, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Okay, John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Wow. Then he says, for without me ye can do no thing. Nothing without me. In other words, if we're not attached to the, that's a requirement right now. If we're not attached to the vine, the branch, which we are, won't have any life in it. We can't just go off and do our own thing. We have to be attached to the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And so every day, we got to check our connection. You know, are we connected to the vine? That's the source of life. We don't have life in ourselves. The Father had life in himself, and he had given the Son to have life in himself, and he can give life to whomsoever he will, but the Son is the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. If we're going to have life, we have to be attached to the vine. Okay, so let's go on, if God permit. Connected to the vine? No, God doesn't permit it. You can't do anything. Also, we must have the right attitude. We must have the right motives. Listen to this. In Luke 10:21-22. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Can you imagine Jesus praying like this? Father, I thank you that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent. I thank you, Father, that you have not given them permission to go on or to go at all. Now, I said that's not to be interpreted as if God is unwilling. We just read this morning in 1 Peter 2 that he is not willing that any should perish. But he's not going to save them without their obedience to the Scripture. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have to have that. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you that you have hid these things from the worldly wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto spiritual children, spiritual babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and no man knows who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Reveal him. It's a revelation. This oneness truth is a revelation. Knowing that Jesus is God is a revelation. Many say it at Christmas, I've said, but we say it year round. Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15, a favorite scripture with most Christians. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What? Approved unto God. He's the one that gives approval or disapproval. So we study not to show ourselves approved unto men. Boy, if I perform good here, maybe they'll have me over there or something like that. No, that's not it. Be approved to God. Say, men, would you two go over and ask Jesus if he's really the Messiah, or do we look for another? You know? And those two disciples of John the Baptist left the prison, went over to Jesus. They asked him that question. Jesus said, just stand here, watch me, and listen to me for a few minutes. And then the Bible says he just healed all kinds of people. And then he said some beautiful words. And then he said, now go and tell John what you saw and heard. And the men are starting to walk off. This is the way I picture it. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Tell him, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. I approve of his ministry. He's in prison. He's all alone. He had a long preparation period and a very brief ministry. Tell him, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in what I require of him. Oh boy, I tell you, that's a sermon to me, from me, for me, to me. Oh, I love it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. John the Baptist was approved unto God. After they walked off, then he said, what went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? No, he said, I'll tell you who that man is. He's a man approved of God. Praise the Lord. That's it in essence. That's it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Grow, in other words, not from here to here, but this way. We don't grow like this. No. We don't leap from freshman to graduation. Like I said, we go through the stages and so on. Let us go on. We are urged to go on. We are encouraged to go on. In fact, we are commanded to go on. Yes. Let us go on. Amen. Unto perfection. going on is totally, completely, wholly dependent on God. We can't do it on our own. We must be connected to the vine. We must get his permission. He is very permissive. He encourages us. He begs, pleads with us to go on. But we still have to do it his way. Okay, now, Psalm 25:4, and I'll say two more verses in closing. Psalm 25:14, a good verse. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Listen to this. And he will show them his covenant. He doesn't just reveal himself to everybody. You know, no man, no woman in love just goes out, unless they're promiscuous or something, just reveals themselves to anybody. And God doesn't reveal himself just to anybody. He said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So there we have it. We must fear him. The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Bible says that in the book of Proverbs. Three things there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So here we have it. The secret of the Lord is with them that hate evil. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And then it says, they are the ones that he'll show his covenant to. They are the ones he'll talk secret things to. They are the ones that can grow and go on. Without the fear of the Lord, we can't just trample on God, on his word, on his ways. We can't just
just swagger into his presence and say, "Here I am, God, fill me up. I got 5 minutes. You better hurry." You know? We don't approach God that way. We prepare to worship deity. We prepare for a meeting with God. Oh, read about Queen Esther. So without God's permission, we cannot know. And then Proverbs 2.
We can close with a passage there. Proverbs chapter 2.
Verses 1 through 6. I'm so glad that the Lord wants us to go on, encourages us to go on, and helps us to go on. He's waiting there to assist us in going on. But he does tell us. We just don't go on without his permission. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Just listen to that. "Receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understand." Look at those words. Receive, hide, incline, apply. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding." You know, people are so impatient today. They can't cry for knowledge. They can't seek God daily for wisdom, even in their own affairs in life. You know, they're so impatient. You ever have anybody ring your doorbell, and by the time you get there, they're walking down the street already? They didn't have time to wait. You go answer the telephone, and it rang three times, you pick it up. You know? I mean, impatience. Have you ever seen such a day of impatience? Well, let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't run that impatience over into the things of God. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then," look at that, I have it encircled in my Bible in red. I got a big rectangle all around it. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Then it says, "Because," or "for, the Lord giveth wisdom." He giveth wisdom. Now, who does he give it to? He gives it to those who comply with verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom." And if he doesn't give it, it just ain't there. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Can we stand a minute and just thank the Lord for his permission, his encouragement, his pleading for us to go on in him.